From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 17th, 2024, from my hotel room here in Brookville, Wisconsin. That's right, day three of the Republican National Convention. That's it. Here we are. First up on the podcast, we have highlights from former Governor Nikki Haley's primetime speech on Tuesday, day two. Today, though, I sat down with SCGOP Chairman Drew McKissick. We talked about his evolving party, as well as the ramifications of the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life. And Senator Tim Scott talked about his fiancée, who he will be marrying in just over 2 weeks. Also, Congresswoman Nancy Mace is set to take the convention stage this evening. But before that happens, give us a shout, folks. 803-563-7169. We want to hear from you. Fill up the voicemail box. We'll have our wind down when we get back next week. But just want to get your thoughts, what you're thinking about. There's been a lot going on. Everything's still very fresh. But give us a shout. 803-563-7169. Welcome to day three of the Republican National Convention.
Thank you.
Let's first, though, recap the action from day two of the convention right after we left you yesterday. Before we get on to what's on tap today.
Go ahead.
Former Governor Nikki Haley spoke during one of the primetime slots along with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. You may remember those two very much so because they were the last opponents to square off against Trump during the primaries earlier this year. Since dropping out of that race in early March, Haley has been keeping it pretty low-key, you know, recovering from a year on the campaign trail. She did snag a fellowship at the conservative Washington think tank, the Hudson Institute. Her husband, Michael, who was in the South Carolina Army National Guard, returned from his year-long deployment to the Horn of Africa, and her family has taken some time to vacation and decompress from, like we said, a year spent on the campaign trail. But you will remember that Haley amassed 97 delegates during the primary. She released those delegates to vote for Trump last week and had not been invited to the RNC until announcing it on Sunday. During her speech, unity was the message Haley was there to proclaim. And while many feared she was going to be booed when she walked out on the stage, the opposite happened. I was there on the convention floor and there was widespread applause, some scattered boos, but overall, people were pumped to see the former ambassador.
It was a gracious invitation and I was happy to accept. I'll start by making one thing perfectly clear. Donald Trump has my strong endorsement, period. Our country is at a critical moment. We have a choice to make. For more than a year, I said a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for President Kamala Harris. After seeing the debate, everyone knows it's true. If we have four more years of Biden, or a single day of Harris, our country will be badly worse off. For the sake of our nation, we have to go with Donald Trump. But there's more to it than that. We should acknowledge that there are some Americans who don't agree with Donald Trump 100% of the time. I happen to know some of them. And I want to speak to them tonight. My message to them is simple. You don't have to agree with Trump 100% of the time to vote for him. Take it from me. I haven't always agreed with President Trump. But we agree more often than we disagree. We agree on keeping America strong. We agree on keeping America safe. And we agree that Democrats have moved so far to the left that they're putting our freedoms in danger. I'm here tonight because we have a country to save. And a unified Republican Party is essential for saving her.
That was former Governor Nikki Haley right there. And again, like you just heard, a lot of that speech was a bit of a repurposed Haley stump speech, but instead of saying her name, she kind of just put Trump in there. That little last second invite, quick work, just repurpose one of those speeches you got. Now, Haley was joined by other former Republican presidential candidates on stage yesterday evening, including entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who spoke right after her. Also, I want you to rewind a little bit back to March 6 when Haley dropped out of the race, and in her speech, she said, quote, "It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him, and I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people," quote. Remember last week, Trump said in an interview that there may be room for her in his administration once again. Haley and others appear to have learned from what former 2016 presidential candidate Texas Senator Ted Cruz didn't do back then, and that was to give that full endorsement. Now, Trump needs those Haley voters, and this was a big step in that direction, though it is unclear if they will follow her lead. Cruz and another 2016 candidate, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, also spoke last night at the convention singing Trump's praises. But let's go to the present today, right now. I want to start off with my conversation with SCGOP Chairman Drew McKissick. Of course, like I've been talking about, I asked Drew about his reaction to the assassination attempt against Trump and what it means for the party going forward.
Well, you know, it's kind of a very, I would say, surreal moment. You know, I was actually sitting in the hotel that afternoon. I was out here a week early for RNC meetings. And I get a text message from someone says, Trump's been shot. I'm like, what? So I turn on Fox News real quick and just see the immediate aftermath. Obviously not something that anybody is thinking would happen, and especially in 2 days leading up to a national convention. And then you see that, and you see what happened, and then you see his reaction. We see a candidate who quite literally took a bullet for this campaign and has given a tremendous amount of resolve to grassroots activists, Republicans around the country to actually now continue to fight for the campaign. You know, if he can do that, then certainly we can finish this all the way to Election Day. You know, I think of the, you know, I hate to say you're looking for the silver lining in the cloud here, but essentially that's it. You're going to have a tremendous amount of energy now. I've said for years, I would rather have an excited and enthusiastic voter than just a voter any day of the week, because excited people, enthusiastic people work. They donate money, they make phone calls, they knock doors, they put out the yard signs. Those are the people who go to Georgia and North Carolina and help win in those states for this presidential race. That's critical, and I think we've got that in spades now.
Yeah, Drew, we were hearing from pollster Robert Haley earlier this week, and he was talking about how we can't be, how your party can't be overconfident going into this, and whether that was people's thoughts on President Joe Biden's debate performance or now this incident with the president, the former president. Tell me about overconfidence, and, you know, we're months away from the election, but still a lot to do.
100%. I mean, you've seen poll numbers from some of these states now. I mean, oh, we're looking good in Georgia, we're looking good in North Carolina, Nevada, Arizona, oh, Pennsylvania, we're up there, and so forth. You know, to me, one, this is halftime right now. Right? If you're thinking about a ball game, we're in halftime. You've got to play the entire game. You know, not like some teams that I pull for occasionally, which only play three quarters of a game, and then, you know, then it's over. And so, we won't see that. We're going to play the whole game. And it's true that excitement, again, is what's going to carry us all the way through. But you don't want to get overconfident. I tell people all the time, I've spoken in blue states and red states with county party leaders, state party leaders, and tell them, you know, any blue state can become a red state, any red state can become a blue state. Same for congressional districts and counties. All you have in front of you is the next election and the need to do the fundamentals. Have a message that resonates, do the organizing to turn out the vote, and raise the money to make those two things possible. If you do that and you execute, you can be successful. That's what we've done in South Carolina over the last 30 years. You know, the history that you've seen here, we used to be a solid blue state, obviously. And that changed because election after election, we were making the headway, we focused on picking our targets, and we executed and we won. And that's the thing that we can't forget. We still have to do the work.
Drew, we're talking on day three of the RNC right now. We saw a big push for unity. We've seen a lot of different voices speaking from the debate stage. We also just saw former Governor Nikki Haley, former Republican presidential candidate, as well as other Republican presidential candidates like Governor from Florida Ron DeSantis and even Vivek Ramaswamy were on the stage yesterday. Tell us about that message of unity, but also, you know, maybe the importance of seeing a lot of South Carolinians on that stage. We also saw Senator Tim Scott. He was in that race, too.
Sure. Well, first off, good politics is about addition and multiplication. If you're doing it right, you're adding and you're multiplying. You're doing it wrong, you're subtracting and dividing. Leave that up to the other party. And, you know, any party that does not have people within it who occasionally disagree with one another is probably not big enough to win an election. We're going to have people who don't always agree. Do we agree on our fundamentals and the things we want to see done now? Do we build that consensus? We build that successful consensus, we can have a successful election. What you've seen now is people who have had legitimate disagreements with one another, with former President Trump, whether it's even J.D. Vance on some things, who disagreed with him, agrees with him now, to obviously former Governor Haley, to Ted Cruz was on the stage last night. And obviously, again, there are things that we disagree on. We are a big party. We have important fundamentals that we do agree on. And we know to get those things done, we have to win. Losers don't make policy. You have to win elections. And unity is a huge part of that.
Talk to us about the party platform, too, that was approved earlier this week. You know, a lot of folks kind of criticize it in terms of it being more about Trump and what he wants versus maybe what the party wants broadly, especially when we talk about abortion. There was a big dust up over that, you know, Trump supporting more of the states' rights issues, which the Supreme Court has obviously given the right to, versus a national, more restrictive ban. What's the process there when it comes to this party platform and how everyone's maybe in agreement or, you know, have some issues with it?
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, party that doesn't have some disagreement is probably not big enough to win an election, especially a national, a continent-wide election, if you will. I would say, you know, the platform that we have now that's been adopted is a great expression of Donald Trump's priorities and written in a way that is easier or easy to message, more digestible, if you will. I mean, you know, the documents we've had in the past, setting the issue positions aside, I've always been personally critical of too much length because, you know, we live in a country with people with ADD. You know, we have the attention span of a gnat. You know, expect people to read 60 pages of the platform. Yeah, probably not going to happen. You know, you do in South Carolina, we made changes to ours years ago. We went from 40 pages down to about 10 in a pocket constitution style document that we can give out at meetings. Let people know what we believe, what we stand for, do you want to join us, and so forth. It's a marketing document. That doesn't mean that I agree with every single position and that every other delegate out there agrees with every single position. Again, we've all got slight differences. And there's even a, you know, there is a divergence within even pro-life leadership around the country is, well, do we want to stick with a state-by-state battle or do we want some minimal national standard? There's disagreement in Congress about that. They'll, you know, hash all that out after the election's over within Congress and have those conversations. But we don't do that until we actually win.
Senator Tim Scott also spoke at the delegation breakfast today, which included the Kentucky delegation as well at our hotel. Big old party for this breakfast buffet. Now, Scott spoke for about 30 minutes and covered a range of topics, and at times even preached a good bit, getting the more than 150 folks on their feet. He opened, though, by urging support for the Trump-Vance ticket after he himself was considered to be Trump's running mate at one time. At the end of his remarks, he was given roses from the South Carolina Federation of Republican Women, something that he does when he attends one of the group's meetings. But he said he was going to save those roses for his fiancée, Mindy, who he will be marrying in just over 2 weeks. Take a quick listen to his remarks and apologies for the room audio.
For those of you who don't know, I'm getting married 2 weeks ago. So, if he survived the plane ride, I'm going to give that to my fiancée, Mindy. And yes. I'm learning. It's really hard for me to learn. I've been a bachelor for 58 years. I've been praying Proverbs 18:22 that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord for 30 years. And I said to God, seriously, can you hear me? He responded, by the way. He said, I hear you, but you mean doing your part. I finally had to get back on my knees and pray my act up. So I will give these to my fiance. I gotta say, y'all treat me like this, I might want to run again. So let me.
That was Senator Tim Scott right there. Now, what's on tap today? Like I said earlier, First District Congresswoman Nancy Mace is speaking this evening just after 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So tune in to PBS NewsHour for that coverage, or, you know, you can always wait for our recap on tomorrow's pod. Mace will be the last South Carolinian, as far as we know, to take the convention stage. Thanks as always, folks, for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. And you can stay up with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. That's the website where you can find our live updates, photos, and much more. Check out our coverage from the convention right there, SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And of course, support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. How am I hearing?
You're hearing fine.
Remote connections.
It's good.
Cool. Neat.